We've spoken before about hedge fund manager Peregrine's pretty impressive performance, the Peregrine Capital High Growth Fund being the first in South Africa to grow capital more than 100 times since 2000. The other fund it manages is the Pure Hedge Fund, launched in 1998, and it's never recorded a negative year. Both funds were up for the first half of 2024, 8% for the High Growth and 6% for the Pure Hedge Fund. This is an enviable track record, and there's clearly a workable formula here that has been tested in some pretty trying markets. Peregrine portfolio manager Justin Cousins joins us now to talk about this performance and the state of the market. Hi, Justin. Thanks very much for your time. Your funds delivered strong returns in the first half of 2024, as I just mentioned, despite these being quite volatile market conditions. Tell us a bit about the strategies that contributed to this performance.
Thanks, Kieran, and good afternoon. I think I'd probably split the sort of attribution of performance for the period between some of our, let's call them old friends, and then some special situations that we took advantage of, and then, you know, some certain South African Inc. stories on the JSE that I think performed particularly well for us. So in the old friends category, Tencent was a particularly strong performer, as well as Meituan in China. Both of them contributed approximately 2 percentage points of that growth number that you quoted earlier. And then another good one is Fortress. We spoke about that at the back end of 2023. Fantastic South African property company that we've been invested in for a long period of time. And despite the good upside that we realized in 2023, we still see fantastic opportunity within Fortress and despite the run that it's had this year. And then a few other international shares such as Meta Platforms, that's run extremely hard in the last while and has delivered fantastic earnings growth at a very reasonable multiple for shareholders. So that sort of talks to that AI theme that I think we called out a year and a half ago. And then a few sort of names like We Buy Cars in South Africa, which recently listed. It was previously part of Transaction Capital. And I think we did a significant amount of work on Transaction Capital when it was still quite a big component of that business. It was shunned by the market. And I think people were really worried about bankruptcy risks with respect to Transaction Capital as a whole, and We Buy Cars really stood out as a shining gem within the portfolio that could be realized for value, which the management team then subsequently did. So on We Buy Cars, I believe our average in price was around about 11 rand a share, and that's currently trading at about 26 rand a share post the listing. So that's also been very successful. And then outside of those names, I think certain of the South African retailers, mid-caps and some of the bonds, which we tried to increase our position as many of those names came under a lot of pressure going into the South African elections. And as we seem to realize a Goldilocks type of outcome in the elections, those have all ran quite nicely for the funds over the last couple of months.
Interesting. Now, as a hedge fund, you've got some flexibility to go long or short the markets, or you can use derivatives to hedge risks, which you do. What strategies did you use leading up to the rather volatile period around election time, and how did you manage those risks?
Well, it's quite interesting, Kieran. If you look at what's happened on the JSE over the past 6 months and probably even longer than that, foreign investors have been net sellers of South African equities in the order of 80 billion or so rands. And many of those investors have not come back to the South African market. You've also seen many domestic balance funds reduce their South African exposure in light of the changes that allowed them to take up to 45% of their total portfolio holdings outside of South Africa. So there wasn't a lot of love for South African domestic shares. And the valuations were extremely compelling. The banks, many of the retailers, and especially the mid-cap shares were under significant pressure up until the election. And what we had to try and do is try and balance our optimism about the valuations of these businesses and the prospect of returns against a potentially catastrophic outcome where the ANC potentially got into bed with alliance partners like the EFF post the elections, which would result in substantial governance declines in our view. And I don't think many of those shares would bounce to the extent that we would hope to see despite their very low valuations. So while we were buying many of these names, the banks and the mid-caps and even the South African bonds, we also had to balance that opportunity against the risk that we faced in the event that you had this negative outcome. So we were quite active in purchasing insurance in the form of currency derivatives that would allow us to benefit in the event that you did have this catastrophic outcome. So at the same time that you were able to buy these well-priced equities, you could at least hedge some of that risk using options on the Rand that would protect the portfolio in the event of this catastrophic outcome. Fortunately, that never came to bear, and many of the South African domestic shares that we had exposure to have run significantly post the elections. The insurance that we had purchased in the form of those currency derivatives never really had to be used, and I think many of those options we used expired out of the money, but it really gave us the confidence to invest quite aggressively into the elections in these South African shares in order to sort of protect this downside risk, which could potentially have been very big.
Staying with the election theme for a minute, the formation of a government of national unity, it was a surprise to many. Was it a surprise to you? And you've already mentioned that a lot of the stocks to which you were exposed have run up post-election. But going from here, what opportunities do you see emerging from this GNU?
Well, to answer your first question, it did come as a big surprise to us. We had been tracking many political analysts and polling data and the like in order to sort of form a view as to where the lay of the land would be after the elections. But I don't think anybody foresaw the performance of the MK party in the 2024 elections. And it was absolutely mind-blowing from our perspective. Our initial expectation was that the ANC would capture 45 to 48% of the vote. That would be quite easy then for them to form a coalition government with a few small parties. And you'd have, you know, status quo insofar as policy is concerned going forward. And we wouldn't really see too much in the way of change. When we saw the actual outcome come out at 40%, we were quite concerned because I think the consensus view at that point in time was that the ANC was more likely to partner with the EFF given their similar ideological stance. And that was quite a horrendous outcome for markets, for companies in South Africa, and it was something we were really concerned about. So the fact that the ANC, a liberation government in Africa, has elected to choose reform-minded parties that have a strong history of governance to go into partnership with was absolutely fantastic. And I don't think as South Africans, we could potentially have hoped for any better outcome than what we saw. So we are extremely excited about where things are going. Prior to the elections, we were quite vociferous about the fact that Eskom had been improving in terms of their own performance and that load shedding was likely to be a thing of the past. That has really played out incredibly well and even far better than our bullish expectations. And we were just hopeful that these governance reforms were going to continue. I think with the new government that we now have, there's a real opportunity for substantially more reforms to take place over the next 3 to 4 years. And that should hopefully provide some sort of catalyst for growth going forward. If you look at what's happened on the markets, you've already seen our 10-year bond yields contract or compress in terms of their yield from approximately 12%. To 11%. So the cost of borrowing has come down. The Rand has strengthened quite significantly post the elections. And I think those two factors should provide some sort of wriggle room for the Reserve Bank to potentially cut interest rates in the months and years to come, which both reduces the cost of borrowing for many businesses in South Africa, but also stimulates consumption. So it's a very interesting setup. It's a monumentous outcome relative to, you know, the last 30 years that we've been exposed to in South Africa, and we are extremely bullish. So we haven't run for the hills with our South African exposure. We continue to maintain pretty big positions in many of these mid caps, some of the banks and the bonds. And we believe that, the South African risk premium should continue to reduce and earnings growth and investment should continue to be a not just a hope and a dream as it has been over the last 4 to 5 years, but I think it's going to become something fairly concrete for many of the businesses that we own within our portfolio. So the valuations are attractive, and we believe the growth over the next 2 to 3 years is going to be substantially better than it has been over the last 2 to 3.
Now, talking about that risk premium, we've passed 110 days without load shedding, Transnet appears to be turning the corner for the good. How is this impacting the local markets and South African businesses generally?
It's quite interesting, Kieran. When you speak to many the South African retailers, the South African property companies that I interact with regularly, I think there's an element of post-traumatic stress disorder with many of these management teams. Not many of them believe that load shedding is a thing of the past. When you speak to them, they're all still worried about the risks. They are investing in solar. They are trying to sort of future-proof their own businesses. And it still seems like quite a defensive mindset at this point in time. So I think it's going to take a little bit of time for businesses to realize that there has been a step change. And once that realization comes to the fore, we are hopeful to see substantially more investment take place by many of these businesses in the months and years ahead. I think Eskom's performance has been fantastic. I saw just last night they had produced, I think it was 35,000 megawatts relative to their peak demand on the day of 31,000 megawatts. So it looks like there's quite a nice buffer now starting to emerge in terms of the capacity we're able to generate relative to what is required by businesses on the ground. So that should start creating some sort of confidence for these businesses to start putting some capital back into the market, which is very, very exciting. You mentioned Transnet. We've had another interaction just yesterday with some of the mining sector players who are telling us how the coal line in particular is performing much better than it has over the last 6 to 12 months. The management changes at Transnet have been particularly good and well received by the market. And I think you're starting to see very increased private sector collaboration in the order that you have not seen over the last 20 or so years in South Africa. So if those sort of initiatives can move into water and they can move into security and they can move into other sectors of the economy, we really could unlock substantial growth for the economy over the next 3 to 5 years, which is really, really exciting.
And just very quickly, looking forward, where do you see the opportunities globally and in South Africa, bearing in mind that a lot of South African companies are sitting on a huge amount of cash accumulated over the last few years? So where would you be looking to invest?
The portfolios are quite balanced at this point in time. So we do have offshore exposure. We've got exposure to the names like Meta, Amazon, Google, and Microsoft that I mentioned previously. These are generally priced very attractively relative to their growth prospects. And I think they do benefit from this AI theme that is emerging over the last sort of 18 to 24 months or so. So we anticipate, you know, continued strong earnings growth from those type of businesses. And in the South African context, yes, I think companies are sitting on tons and tons of cash. And, you know, if they can invest that capital effectively in order to generate a strong return, we would anticipate much, much better growth coming out of many of the mid-cap names that we have exposure to. I think the banks have got substantial firepower to, release insofar as lending is concerned, which should provide ample room for businesses to continue to invest and to create jobs and stimulate the economy. So I think many South African businesses we have exposure to at this point in time remain, you know, priced for a low growth environment when you look at their forward price earnings multiples. There isn't a lot of credit given to these shares for much better growth, which can manifest over the next 2 to 3 years. So we're quite hopeful that on the ground in South Africa, if we do see this more bullish outcome play out, you will benefit from improved earnings growth as well as a re-rating on certain of these multiples. And, you know, just like the foreigners I mentioned earlier that have sort of turned their back on the South African market, I think once the growth numbers start to come through, we're quite hopeful that you're going to see a repatriation of that foreign capital, both from the foreigners themselves, but also from the South African balance funds that have taken their money outside of South Africa to manage their own risk and their own exposure to South Africa Inc. So with a bit of luck, we start looking a little bit more like Argentina than we do like Turkey over the next couple of years. And South Africa could be a great investment destination, you know, not just for our funds, but for the rest of the market in South Africa.
Well, we certainly hope so. We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much, Justin Cousins, who is Peregrine Capital Portfolio Manager.